Leviticus chapter 3. If his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now, in every one of the grades of offerings, except the meat offering, there's a death. In the sin offering, there's at the higher grades, there's a death. In the sin offering, there's death. In peace offering, there's death. In meat offering, there's no death. Burnt offering, there's death. Now that's got to be pretty important.
Which one's no death?
Meat offering. Because the meat offering is your responsibility to your fellow man. Remember?
Wow.
And it's just fine ground flour.
That's the meat.
Huh?
Meat.
That changes everything.
Not as in pork. Yeah.
No.
Like meat.
No, meat. Like food.
Meat.
Food offering. But here, in the peace offering, even though it's the offering that is the fellowship offering, it's where we get the idea of communion, it's where we get the idea of he's made known unto us in the breaking of the bread, there has to be a death. And the offerer has to lay his hands on the head of the sacrifice. And by doing that, he identifies, he becomes the offering. And when that animal was killed, they knew what it meant. So the secret of this is, the secret of the peace offering is that you cannot have fellowship without your death. You understand? As long as you are the subject of the sentence, there's no fellowship. As long as I, or me, is or mine, there's fellowship is impossible because there's no death. Do you understand the mystery of language? I mean, do you understand that, just think about it. I wish we all understood Hebrew, because Hebrew is the closest language there is to understand spirit. But if the subject of the sentence is you are yours in your thought process, then you know with a certainty, with a mystery, that you can't have fellowship. There can be no peace offering. And if the subject of the sentence is you are yours, then by definition you're seeking to save your life. And that's why I say to you so often, you know, in your thoughts, that they have to be crucified. Because if you're the subject of the sentence in your thoughts, then you have excluded yourself from the peace offering. Doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. Does everybody get a little bitty hint of that? Now the peace offering is no more needed anywhere. I mean, it can't. I didn't say that right. The most important place the peace offering is required to be apprehended is in a marriage, because if you don't apprehend it, then you will try to gain sustenance from each other's flesh. Or in a relationship. So please, I beg of you, you know, if you don't understand this stuff that I'm talking about, let's talk about it. But don't let it go. All right? And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now that's why in 1 John it says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. Better said, if you walk in the fire as he is in the fire, then shall you have fellowship one with another. The fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. Okay, we got all this inward stuff going on. And you take the fat off the caul or the liver, and you take the fat off the insides, and you take the two kidneys, and you give them to the Aaron and his sons, and he burns them. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. What does that mean? It's all the inward parts. What does that mean?
This is God.
What does that mean?
It means that his business, it's like it's like putting it in the basket of first fruit. It's his business. He's got the right.
It's the stuff inside the walls. It's the incense.
It's no longer the province of the offerer or of the sacrifice itself or of the priest. It belongs to him.
If you can understand this, it'll free you from self-condemnation. It will transform your mind talk into worship. It'll transform your doubt into faith. It'll transform your fear into love. The idea that you don't have a right to judge the inward parts. The only time that you are asked or exhorted or called to examine yourself is to prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. There's never a call to examine yourself. There's never a need to try to change the inward parts. They are offered in the offering made by fire unto the Lord. The problem with, you understand that? What's the function of the kidneys? What's the function of what are the reins? Okay, but it's more than just kidneys. When they talk about kidneys or the reins in the scripture, they talk about the kidneys and the bladder. It's offered in an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's not your business. You understand that?
That which gets rid of the part of the drink offering doesn't eat
it. And the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, which are the kidneys, with the kidneys it shall be taken away. What's the fat?
It's the richness of the sacrifice.
What does it say? What does it signify?
Store health,
fertility.
It's more than you need, kind of.
Excess.
The fat signifies self-seeking.
Yep.
What? Well, hear me. If the fat is burned on the altar, then that's not your business either. Huh?
Fat too.
I forgot.
What is it called? Loins, but I don't know what that means. And the loins, it's like the gall.
It's
gallstone.
So
self-seeking
is not business eating? That's amazing.
Have you ever tried not Not to be self-seeking?
I'm done.
It's called self-denial.
Yeah,
I
have a long time. Yeah, I'm on his desk.
Everybody that has recently.
I've successfully stopped seeking after myself for myself. I've successfully. Is anybody's BS detector going off?
But that's a cool trick.
See, you're into tricks these days.
No, I thought about
that's the second time you've been using that word trick. God's tricking you.
He's a trick because what he does, he uses self-seeking because once you understand that if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it, then that transfigures self-seeking.
What'd you say?
It's in one's self-interest to give of oneself, to lay one's life down.
The call is either the thing that surrounds your stomach or a hairnet.
What is it? The part of the peritoneum.
It's a peritoneum.
That extends from the stomach to the large intestine, also called great omentum.
Oh, it's the sac that encloses all.
Yeah, because they say it's the membrane enclosing the fetus as well.
What?
What does omentum mean?
It means... hi there, you worthless pig.
Yeah. It's what keeps all that stuff together and keeps the stuff.
It's when you get more than 3 first downs in a row.
When that's punctured, that's when you get bad infections.
No, I doubt that.
It's like the cardiac.
Oh, you know what that is? That's what contains all the waste and the stuff. It'll kill your body if it gets out.
That's right.
A free fold of peritoneum connected the stomach to the other visceral organs and supporting blood vessels, nerves, and
keeps it all, seals it up in the back. It's like this
pericardium is
shit engine in here.
That ruptures, you get very, very sick.
You die of infection, yeah.
Do you notice how Harry's talking? Did you got it? Do you have it like exactly right now? Do you have the...
That's the part you don't want to bust when you get in there.
That's what it is.
Right.
Exactly right. If you do it right, you can pull it all out at one time.
Oh, all right. God. All right. All right. All right.
Good priest can do that.
Do you understand?
One quick.
The fat, the caul, the kidneys, all of that gunky stuff.
Package.
The fat that is above the caul. All of that stuff is taken out, I'm sure without breaking it, by the priest with a sacrificial knife. And it's taken out and it's laid on the altar. And it's burned in the heat of that altar of burn.
So it's not part by part, it's as a unit.
Well, they have to get it out as a unit, otherwise it would foul the meat. I mean, then the rest of it couldn't have been a sacrifice.
Does it probably stink?
Well, stinks real bad.
That's part of what happened. That's part of what happened with the Jack in the Box thing. That's part of how that bacteria deal happened. They showed that the clean meat fell in. When the guy makes a mistake, when he cleans the carcass, and he slices through the peritoneal, whatever it is, and cuts the intestine, then that material gets on the meat, and that's what causes the bacteria to kill the people. That's wild.
Okay. But it's important that you see that all of that is taken out. It's not your business. I mean, this can be big time freeing if you can see it.
Yeah.
All right, but let's go on. And Aaron said, shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Okay, the first thing we had was an offering be of the herd, right? That's the first one in verse 1. Now in verse 6, and if his offering for a sacrifice be of the peace offering, and the Lord be of the flock. What's the flock?
Sheep, trap.
Huh? Sheep.
Trap.
Flock of sheep, herd of cattle. Male or female, he should offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar, And he shall offer up the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the collar of the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now think about it. That's what is given of the peace offering unto the Lord. Can you hear that? Can you understand its implications a little bit? It's the gunky, smelly stuff. It's the thing that you think is so terrible. It's the self-seeking in the fat. Everything in that offering has its only function was to process it for its only function was to process stuff so the rest of it would be made alive. What's left in there is what. And the fruit of that thing then is to dump everything in Gehenna, right? And right into the toilet. Boom. Remember the toilet, Gehenna, the same thing. Hell. It's going right down to hell. Whatever, what that means, if you can hear it, is God is all and in all. And not only is he all and in all, he takes that part and it becomes an offering of a sweet savor unto the Lord. If it's seen as unto the Lord and not unto you. And so your whether it's evil, self-seeking, whatever it is, the instant you see it as unto the Lord, then you're free. The instant you stop trying to change it, you're free. Doesn't take any great mystery. If you ever try to just, okay, I know what we'll do. Let's just now sit around and think good thoughts. I'm going to hide the word in my heart so that I will be holy. The more you try to do that, the more bullshit comes out. The more holy you try to be on the surface, the kinky you are inside. Why? Because you try to segregate. And God says he has pleasure in all things created. Now, if you can hear this, you will finally stop trying to change yourself. It's getting real boring. Am I talking to anybody?
Yeah.
Put Mike to sleep.
Stinks, though, right?
Sure.
But the spirit is.
But the flesh stinks when it's burned. Have you ever?
I mean, fire transfigured.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Any flesh stinks.
Except, of course, steak.
It stinks.
Yeah, but that's what you. That's. But that's what the offer of the priest and the priest children get is the steak.
Right.
God gets the.
But stop trying to change yourself. That's the message here.
We decide what parts we give to God. That's what the deal is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to give him the
good parts.
The part you don't want.
I'm just going to give
him the bones because I still smoke so much. And I want to go to the other one.
And 11, the purse, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. If the offering be a goat, you even offer a goat. Now why could the offering be a goat? The goat is always symbolic.
Because we are.
It's always symbolic of Satan. It's always symbolic of the evil ones.
Because God's going to redeem it. God redeems it in the process of it being sacrificed anyway.
Amen. Do you understand the only place that you're an enemy is in your mind? And the only place that the reason you're an enemy in your mind is that you believe you will consume it on your own lust. You ask and you receive not. Remember what it says in James?
Like that deal you said one time, you can, if things are bad enough, you can, for the Passover, you can use dirt instead of matzah.
That's right. They did. They have. The mystical rabbis in the past have used the basest elements of the earth in the Passover, if they were in. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar of the food. It is the food of the offering made by the fire, made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Okay, now, the thing that you notice, if you've studied anything here, if you've heard me talk about the offerings, is that the idea here is that if you apprehend the people, remember, there are different grades of apprehension in all the other offerings. It goes from a bullock all the way down to a handful of flour and a trespass offering, and all the differences in between, and it represents the measure of your apprehension. But for the peace offering, it's very simple. There's an oxen or a bull or something from the herd. There's something from the flock, or there's a goat. There's three live animals, and all three of them are treated exactly the same. There's no differences of going from handfuls of flour to... In other words, if you apprehend the peace offering at all, you'll apprehend it equally. That's what this means. It means that each person in the body, no matter how limited his intellectual capacity is, has the capacity to apprehend the peace offering at the same as the highest chief rabbi of the universe. Sometimes I think I'm talking Greek.
Something just real hit me big time when you said that it could either be a bull or a bullock or a sheep or a goat. It dawned on me in a flash that, I mean, you can look at it the way we're looking at it, which is read words out of Leviticus and talk about all this stuff that seems religious. Or you can come at it from the other direction, which is, hey, there's a bunch of people here, and they're hungry, and it's time to eat, and we're going to have a party, so we're going to get either a goat or a lamb or a bull, and we're going to kill it. And it's worship.
Amen. That's what the whole point of it is.
And it's just really...
Verse 17 is, well, you can't eat the fat, but the type is just... Excuse me.
Okay, there are several distinct sharers in the offering. There's God, there's the offerer, there's the priest, there's the priest's children. They all have a portion in this offering. Now, God's part...
The priest's friends?
Yeah, well, that's discussed elsewhere. And this one is just, these are the ones that are seen. Remember, again, you have to think of this as, because there's so much that we haven't studied in bananas, so you'll just have to understand a little bit, that in the other offerings, there's a great, great variety and distinction as to washing, as to laying on the hands, as to who kills, as to where it's killed, as to what you do with the blood, the disposition of the different parts. In the peace offering, you lose sight of all of that. We just have the parts that go on the fire and the parts that are go to man or go to the priest and the offerer. It's a very simple sit down, gain sustenance, and share in a meal with God.
I keep thinking about Abraham when he was sitting in the tent.
Yeah, that's a shadow.
I don't know why, but I can't get it out of my mind. The three guys came walking up and he went and killed them.
Yeah, and that was at Passover, too. At Passover, Passover has, if you can, Passover includes all of the offerings in its pack. So, now each grade is treated nearly exactly alike. And again, this is what I said, this teaches us that if the peace offering is apprehended at all, it will be apprehended equally by all people.
Anybody can share the peace offering?
As long as there's no consciousness of guilt or trespass, as long as you know that your demands to your fellow
is
man...
Is that why the Passover, when you have Passover, they can't come into the...
Yeah, the Passover is a private ceremony. I mean, only those that are in the community can eat the Passover. If Christ is seen as the peace offering, and then, I mean, there's nothing left to see. Again, remember, the peace offering was the last one apprehended. It was the last one presented during the day. When the peace offering is apprehended, there's no more reason for time to exist. If the peace offering is apprehended, in him you will see that there is nothing lacking. His office won't be confused with his person. And you'll see that nothing of his ministry, nothing of his life, nothing of his is overlooked. You've seen him as he is. But I think the takeaway tonight is that the one that I want you to primarily take away is that all of the stuff that you try to change, because all of the inward stuff, it's the seat of your emotions and your is his. That's why the only reason we have hot seats is so that you will see that there's no place in your life that you have a right to believe that you have been forsaken by God. And yet every one of you has that, those secret places where you believe God has forsaken you. He's left you. Yeah, some of you it's not so secret. Well, is everybody understanding a little bit?
All the stuff about the sweet savor is always, it's really, it's that funny combination of something that's very joyful and very sober at the same time. Because it's entirely about mercy and inseparability.
Yeah. Now, the peace offering is called many different things in the Bible. And unless you understand, again, for summary, and I hate to keep repeating it, but I know that this is a perverse and evil generation whose heart is fat. Never mind. To apprehend, to see the peace offering, to apprehend it, to eat of the peace offering. You've gone through all of the waters of purification. You've dealt with any mistakes or sins of your life. You've dealt with just the basic you-ness, you know, so, I mean, because it's the sin offering. You've dealt with any demands that anybody could have on you, so there's no there's nothing left unfinished in terms of you and any other individual or any other class of beings or any other anything. And you have seen that all of the requirements that are necessary to please God have been effected and completed. Now, when all those things have been accomplished in a body of people, then they together eat the peace offering. Now, the things that the peace offering is called, hey, it's the basic sacrifice of all of the communal offerings. It's called the peace offering, it's called the thanksgiving offering, it's called the wave offering, it's called the votive offering. It was the offering at Pentecost, it's called the free will offering, it's called the ordination offering, and it's called the Nazarite offering. Are all simply different types of this one offering, the peace offering. Now, in stealth, Wednesday night, we talked about the Nazarites, because when they stopped being Nazarites, then they gave the peace offering. I don't want to go into that.
Cool. So they didn't do the peace offering while they were Nazarites?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give
the peace? No, they did. They couldn't have any offering, because they couldn't touch, come near wine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, sure, that's the meaning of the Nazarite. This is what I told Stealth that I couldn't, I didn't have the guts to teach on when we did the Nazarite vow.
Cut off.
The Nazarite vow is that you're, because you're cut off from the fruit of the vine, that means that you have cut yourself off voluntarily from all hope of salvation.
Wow.
See what I mean?
That is so amazing.
Redemption is, you can't participate in it.
So therefore you can't participate. They couldn't be part of anything in the temple. They couldn't take the cup of sanctification, therefore they couldn't ever eat any of the communal meals.
That's incredible.
I snuck up on
just
you.
Just a little thing you omitted there.
that's really amazing.
And so then when they took the peace offering, when they came back into the community after their Nazarite vow, boom, there was the peace offering had the greatest majesty in the universe, because they were restored to community, they were restored to fellowship after being cut off.
Yeah, there's a distinction. Finally, there's a clear distinction. Instead of just, you know, dodio offering after, you know, one offering after another, no big deal. And it cut off, all of a sudden it's like coming back in and being able to make that is like the offering is now a privilege that it's a different dimension of privilege.
It makes it even wilder that we did it as a group, that we did it as a body. That's really wild. They did it like individual. I mean, they were hermits, right?
Some people did it in those communities.
Was it? What was the Nazarite? I mean, was it like a tribe of people, or was it priests that all of a sudden took the Nazarite vow?
She wasn't here. There's only three of them.
No, there were only three lifetime Nazarites. But a lot of people did the Nazarites. Okay, any domesticated animal from the herd or the flock, male or female, was permissible.
And that's kind of like a new thing, too, because wasn't there usually a separation that there was a male for particular sacrifices or females for particular sacrifices?
Perfect ones. But this doesn't say perfect necessarily, right?
Without blemish.
Or without blemish.
Oh, okay, so this does say that.
Now, unleavened cakes were stipulated for the Thanksgiving and the Nazarite, but leavened cakes were stipulated for the Pentecost offering. We'll have more on this when we go to Pentecost. But the presentation and the laying on of hands were the same as for all other offerings. However, instead of the animal being slaughtered on the north side of the altar, it was done at the door of the sanctuary.
How exactly exactly did they do that? First they put their hands on the head, and the throat was cut, and then the priest took out the sack containing all of the innards.
And skinned it.
And skinned it.
The skin was given to the wherever the... It was given. The skin was the rent payment for the pilgrims to, that they paid in Jerusalem.
Or did it follow feasts?
It was. You got to hear this. It could only be made voluntarily. Except for the Nazarite and for the Pentecost. I mean, there was no daily requirement for the peace offering, as there was the daily offerings of the sin, the trespass, and the burnt offering. That means the daily... Have you ever tried to read Leviticus?
I mean, a lot of people, it seems like it would be something that you, I mean, even now, you don't want to give self up. And was it hard for them to go do that?
No, it was a huge, they couldn't do it if it was hard for them. It had to be out of joy from the heart, from the...
Why the door?
Huh?
Why the door? I'm the door.
It was slaughtered instead of, remember, I can't remember which group I talked to, but thank you. The all the other sacrifices were slaughtered on the north side of the altar. Why?
Well, when the waters are outside, trespass and sin are outside. Burn is inside.
The offering is burned outside the camp.
Oh, but it's not killed outside?
No.
It just seems, I don't know why it's in my mind, but something about, you know, to do that unworthily. I mean, as far as acting and doing stuff like that that you do already, you hide, who would know if that person was
well,
real?
Because it was done by very careful monitoring. In other words, there was 144,000 priests in the temple at the time of Christ. 144,000. And one course of priests, one order of priests, their only job was the things attendant to the peace offering. And so their only job was to ensure that no one could give the peace offering unless they had met the stipulations. So I'm sure that there were, it'd be difficult to get by.
Also, wouldn't the offerer be scared to death to try and falsify something like that?
Well, there would be no reason for him to, is the real, the bottom line.
When you say Noth signify?
Evil.
Evil, so that's what he did to Noth?
All of the other offerings were killed at the north side of the altar.
So, implying that the sacrifice, putting the hands on it, the sacrifice is evil? Or it's dealing with evil?
Tell me about it. No, this offering isn't at the door. This offering is at the door of the tabernacle.
And so did a person or a family bring the offering?
Couldn't be a family.
Individually.
What would happen to the offerer if there was no blemish outwardly, but there was inwardly?
They wouldn't accept the animal.
But it didn't mean you would go up in flames or anything. I mean,
huh?
The offer is...
spontaneous combustion at the door of the sanctuary.
It didn't imply anything about the offer.
Well, it implied that his offering wasn't accepted.
Yeah.
It meant the party was over. No party then.
Time
no
to go
party.
Get another goat.
And the goat's got to go out to the Dead Sea.
Now, stop and think a minute. At the time of Christ, there were 6 million, there were, well, From Josephus, we know there were 250,000 lambs slain at the Passover that Christ was killed at. Every one of those lambs, that was between 10 and 20 people that ate. They had to be at least 10, but no more than 20. And that was just the males. Females couldn't eat the Passover. Oh, okay, here comes a feminist bullshit again.
Yeah, but they also...
We're going to adhere to that this year?
Now, did that mean the male children, too?
No, they couldn't. Children couldn't eat.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. 13. They had to be at least... Yeah. They had to have... Well, they had to have been declared by the rabbi an adult. It didn't, some of them were 36 and still hadn't made it.
Some of them... Not to mention any names.
Yeah.
Hey, Apple.
Huh?
Not to mention any names.
Me so, the Passover, there were a minimum of 2,500,000, just males, but that's not, I mean, they didn't have 10 in each one. They had to have at least somewhere.
As many as five.
There was probably, scholars have estimated there's 5 to 6 million pilgrims in Jerusalem for the Passover, for Christ, the one that Christ was killed at. Now think, I mean, we're talking 250,000 lambs. That was just for the Passover offering. But before they got to that offering, they had to have the burnt offering, the sin offering, the meat offering, and all the other individuals' offerings that people would give. It was a bloody place. Do you understand? The temple was, it was slaughter, blood all over the place. We have these images of the sanitized temple with, you know, everything was a little pristine bullshit. It's Egyptian religion. It was in Egypt where no blood was allowed, where everything had to be pristine and clean. It was only in Jerusalem where the blood was everywhere. The drainage system in the temple rivaled any modern plumbing system for its efficiency, because it had to get rid of so much blood.
It was a slaughterhouse.
And these animals, they didn't just go up there and go, I mean, you know, we hear nice stories about how little sheepies went up and cut me. You get some. What happens when they die? All the first thing that happens is all the animals lose. They become incontinent. But what happens, and we got these, and it's huge, when people wanted to, you know, when people wanted to make an impression, and they brought in the biggest stud bull they could find. And you can imagine a stud bull going to get his throat cut very, I mean, he's not.
Sure.
And what?
Feel docile.
And they smell that blood.
Oh, and they go crazy.
Right in there.
Well, they've heard about the temple,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, they've been talking about
they've
this temple.
About that temple. Yeah. I'm going. Fred never came back.
Huh?
He went to the temple, never came back.
I know.
Well, I mean, just even to try to unload cattle.
Back.
Now, stop a minute and think of the number of cattle. Think that every one of them had to be perfect. There could not be a blemish. There could not be a hair follicle that had two hairs out of it.
So in essence, you don't have a peace offering every day. They didn't have peace offerings.
Well, yeah. They probably didn't.
The vision that...
the peace offering had to have become, in the history when you read it, it had to have become a huge event. I mean, God intends for the peace offering to be continually, so that because he wants everybody to be in that state of joy so that they voluntarily offer that peace offering. But let's look at the practical aspects of this.
Yeah, business in the end is selling perfect animals.
That's right.
That's the business.
When I was a kid,
what?
Uncle Penny took me to the packing
plant. Oh, yeah, his father, I mean, Uncle his uncle Penny? Had a packing plant.
Yeah.
Penny, yeah.
No,
what I was going to say is that, I was really impressionable. I was probably 11, maybe, or something. And I thought, I didn't think about where hamburgers came from or any of that. And you go to the floor of the packing house, and that day, the stun gun was broken. Well, that doesn't stop business. Yeah, exactly. It was a big hammer, and all the cattle are in this pen, and they're fighting against each other. I mean, they knew what was going on. It wasn't like, you know...
They could smell it.
Well, they get hit with,
you know, they get hit with the hammer because there was no stun gun. I remember that real clearly. And I mean, you know, that was their skull.
This is a big.
Yeah, this is a big.
Sledgehammer.
Right, big sledgehammer. And there's a big guy that was swinging it. And that just stunned them. And then they were dragged out and hooked up, and immediately their throat was slit. And then the blood was everywhere because you had to drain all the blood out before you could even start the rest of the process of cutting it up. It was always cut at the throat, and they were just hanging them one after another. And like I said, the blood was everywhere.
Did you sleep well?
Burgers, anybody?
No, but do you understand when we think of altars, we think of
flowers,
sanitized little altars with candles,
white linen,
the holy mushrooms.
Wait, the church played on it. The church is kind of the altar is always this wooden gray.
Do this in remembrance of me.
But the altar is the place of sacrifice. It's the place of blood, tribulation. It's a place of excitement. It's a place of anticipation. It's a place of fear. It's a place where you die. You cannot be a sacrifice without death. You can never, I mean, again, it's axiomatic, but I've said it so often, it's probably lost its power. The sacrifice never once has ever chosen its place of sacrifice. I mean, do you understand? People in America, we go to the church of our choice and expect to be moved by God? Can you see the contradiction in terms?
That's why I can't comprehend that when I keep asking you about when you go to, even in an offering, I mean, that in a sense happens now. I mean, if you give yourself over.
Yeah, you get bloody.
But I mean, part of you doesn't want to either.
No.
Right. No shit.
But again, just from what this place looks like, I mean, there's not anyone in his right mind would choose this place to present yourself a living sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, it cost you everything. I mean, I always think, oh, it cost me everything.
You're right. Yeah. It's not a cliche, that's for sure.
But you know, we now have this phenomenon that's true for everyone, but it's really true and it's the kids that are born in the land. The thing that they can intuit and know, and they can know it so that all of us can see it, is they never have to be judged. I mean, they never have to be looked at in isolation. You know what I mean? They don't have to be ever, because by osmosis, by living, they've always known only that we're a tribe or a people. I mean, they have a tribal consciousness.
We're the sacrifice.
And the idea that you as a child or your children would never once have to think of themselves and know the fear of having to meet somebody else's standards of you as an individual. I mean, she's not here, but that's why, you know, Angela knows that intuitively. I can't explain it. I don't know how to put what I... But my point is, that can be your inheritance tonight. It doesn't matter. I mean, Mike can know that. Ben can know it. All of us individually can know it, that we never have to judge. We don't have to look at each other as a thing and say, I'm like this or I'm like that. I mean, we are looked at by God as one, and we better start looking at each other as one. And that's what happens when that's that oneness, that return to that unity, is the joy of the peace offering.
I know that when you mentioned during our first fruits that Angela and the other children that were born in the land will never have to go through first fruits.
No, they never have to go the asset tithe.
The asset tithe. And I thought, I mean, it struck me how wonderful that was for Benjamin and for this baby to be in his
land. Amen.
What a blessing that is.
Yeah, it's like, after my first fruits, I didn't even realize it, but by the things that have been going on since first fruits, which is, you know, meals in the lair and stuff like that, I've re-engaged. It's like I've had more joy now than I've had in the past year. I mean, you know, because there's just something about that where you know you're with everybody, you know, and you don't feel out there. It's great.
Amen. Well, that's a little bit more taste. The only thing that I can do in these offerings is try to cause you to have a hunger to understand them. I mean, I've got a notebook now. Oh, it's about that thick.
Yeah.
Just on the offerings.
But
it's all that huge notebook is one sentence. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified by one offering. So all of that his book is just by one offering is perfected forever. Perfect. Perfected. Fully tested. Amen?
There's so much in that about being, you know, knowing that you're the oracle of God and the oracle of God. And, you know, no matter what, it just doesn't matter whatever you have to say.
Yeah.
And it's hard to come to that understanding after, you know, decades of shoulds. And then all of a sudden...
Especially if you're from California. Especially difficult.
Oh.
Okay. Take it, big guy.